my dear brothers and sisters. The opening quotation is back from Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." Most of us in this congregation have taken part of that and complied with it. Attraction between the sexes is perhaps the greatest threat to the brotherhood today. It's certainly being seen as a threat amongst the descendants of the children of Israel about marrying outside what is the Jewish ancestry. God's provision was ideal, yet not without its pitfalls. Sarah dies when Abram is 137 years old. We looked in Hebrews today when it said in him as one as good as dead when Isaac was born. Subsequently he marries Keturah and has a further six sons. Perhaps two best known are Midian and Shua. Shua is the ancestor of Bildad in the book of Job. So age is not necessarily the answer for the problem that we see facing us. Our first reading from 2 Samuel illustrates the pitfalls in a wrong approach to the natural attractions. It came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. I think you go back into the law of Moses and you find out that that was forbidden under the law. Although Tamar seems to think that if he asks David, then he'll be given permission. Unless anything that is thy neighbour's includes his daughter, then this is one of the exceptions under the Ten Commandments that you and I do not fall foul of when we seek a partner. However, the lusting for that was what it turned out was forbidden. Leviticus 18 verse 11 says, "The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness." As often happens, wrong advice was given. 2 Samuel 13 verse 3, "Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. Said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Will thou not tell me? Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." Almost as if being privileged put one above the law. We are privileged above the common multitudes of the earth, but that also includes a code of conduct that is higher than that expected from others. We publicly accept the conditions on the day of our baptism. We no longer belong to ourselves, but we belong to the Lord. So it was that Jonadab said unto him, "Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick, and when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat. Dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand." So we know what takes place, that is exactly what happens. And the story goes on in verse 12. "She answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly." You know from Leviticus that it should not have taken place. "And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go and ask for thee? Thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee." Let's go about it in the right way, she's saying. He's not interested in that. Amnon forced Tamar. That for others not related unto the law would have meant no putting away ever. Seeing as our marriage has been married before, if that took place, then God says if man forces a woman, then he can ever, ever divorce her or put her away. 2 Samuel 3 verse 15, "Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. Amnon said unto her, Rise and be gone." Hatred does not mean love less on this occasion, as it does when we're talking about between Esau and Jacob and the love of God. Having done wrong with his half-sister, his attitude went from one extreme to the other. And Absalom waited 2 years before avenging his wrong sister. Jeremiah might also have been commentating on this incident as well as many others. Jeremiah 17 verse 1 he says, "The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars." I have a bar of iron, the two of them, I have two actually. Each of them has got a diamond in the end of it. And use it for actually dressing the grinding wheels up. It's done it. It's one of the hardest things that we know. Yet, interestingly, the children of Israel were managed to engrave the tribe's name on a diamond on the breastplate of the high priest. Sin is written with a pen of iron, the point of the diamond, upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Sin is what we all succumb to. As Job says, Job 5 verse 7, "Yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward." As an engineer, retired now, this verse has got a special interest. Car pistons are turned with diamond tools. I've got a diamond for dressing my grinding wheels. Diamond is the hardest material known to men. Engraven in the table of the heart shows how ingrained sin is. Upon the horns of the altar, Matthew 26 verse 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." God was, Jesus saying, it was his blood that was shed for the remission of sins. And Amnon pandered to the flesh and he died for his sins. We too have to die for our sins for the great God to be true to his word. Romans 6 verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Me? I'm a sinner. In fact, I think that the Apostle Paul got it wrong when he said that he was chief. Jeremiah 17 verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh his flesh his arms, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Amnon trusted Jonadab. We know where that got him. Our trust has to be in the Lord, for only by trusting him can our sins be forgiven and we obtain salvation. Verse 7 of Jeremiah 17, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Trusting in God explicitly means that we'll do all these things. Verse 13 he says, "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. They that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters." In verse 14, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise." Like the promises of God, and it said about Abram believing God, trusting God, doing what God asked of him. It was counted to him for righteousness. God asked for a visible token of Judah's obedience. The keeping of the Sabbath, they wouldn't obey. As a matter of fact, the Sabbath was the hardest working day of the week for the priests. Now, we are not under obligation to keep the Sabbath, as the Jews still are. We follow the first century custom, keep the first day of the week. In the first century Judea, that was a normal working day. In the evening, they would meet to remember their Lord. So Sunday has always been my hardest day of the week, but keeping the Sabbath was not to do nothing, Everyday life was to be put aside and concentration made upon the things of the Lord. So in Jeremiah 17, verse 24, "It shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes sitting upon the thrones of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. They shall come from the cities of Judah, from the places about Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, and from the plain, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord." God is saying, keep the Sabbath, do this. That's the only one thing I'm asking you to do. These things will be added unto you. But the alternative, verse 27, "If ye will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched." There's a similar choice which faces each and every one of us: to hearken to and do the will of our Lord, or to do our own thing. Remember, you and I are called to be kings in the new order of things when Jesus returns. So we go on to Matthew 28 and verse 1. "It's the end of the Sabbath as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre." This final chapter for today in Matthew's Gospel is God's proof for our future. He raised his son from the dead, and at his judgment was changed to nature to die no more. And I would like to think that Pharaoh with Joseph before him typified the judgment, or that particular judgment, so that Jesus could say, "All power is given in heaven and in earth is given to me." Interesting, the only one that's exempt from that is the giver. "But all power in heaven and in earth is given to me." So Pharaoh, with Joseph before him, says, "Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And I like to think that those are the words of God to his only beloved son. You and I, by grace, will, with Jesus, when Jesus takes over, be like him. Come the kingdom, the work of the angels will come to an end. It's you and I who will have to take over in bringing what God requires to the nations round about us. Not an invisible force, but a visible presence. An example of the mercy of God in providing salvation to sinners. God cannot sin. Jesus did not sin. You and I have, and we know what it's like to be sinners, and therefore it will be especially easy for us to tell the people round about us of what is the alternative. On the first day of the week, following the Sabbath, they cut the first barley sheaf. The high priest waved it vigorously before the Lord, and it's Jesus before God Almighty. That first barley sheaf, cut and waved. Leviticus 23:11. "He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow, after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it." We are the loaves baked with leaven, which were presented 50 days later. Leviticus 23 and verse 17, "He shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. There shall be a fine flour, and shall be baken with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord." Psalm 118 and verse 27 says, "God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar." Back to that one in Jeremiah about the iron pen for the diamond tip. So God said that our sins in the sacrifice were tied to the horns of the altar. Christ carried our sins, sinless himself. He was bound to our sins. Now it is possible for you and me to prevent God from doing that which he has promised, we said earlier this morning. For remember the 10 spies saw the good land, cities walled up to heaven. We can't take it, they said. So they chose a captain to take them back into Egypt. We get to Jeremiah chapter 42. We'll find the Jews telling Jeremiah that they will obey God. Ask Jeremiah, what shall we do? Jeremiah says, well, you don't go back to Egypt. Their bags were packed, and the luggage labels had Egypt as the destination. Brothers and sisters, there can be no return to Egypt ever. If you look at that record, when they went back into Egypt, they stopped at the habitation of Chimham. Habitation, Khan, Inn of Chimham, Inn in Jerusalem, Inn in Bethlehem, as they're going down into Egypt. David, a great friend, Barzillai, he said, come and live in Jerusalem with me in Barzillai. I said, I'm too old for that. He said, I want to live with my family, and I want to die and be buried in my father's sepulchre. But take my son. Which he did. Chimham. Gave him an inn in Bethlehem. And was it there where that family came? Jeremiah 17 verse 14 says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Matthew 28 verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world.